this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Welcome to Unleashed, the Political News Hour, with your host, Bruce Robertson. We have so much going on in our world today that the purpose of this show is to cover the latest things that are happening in the media, actually in the news that the media didn't tell you this week. We've got Trump back in court, another kangaroo court trial for Donald Trump, presidential candidate, under attack, under pressure from his political rivals who have power right now to throw the kitchen sink at him. We have illegals pouring across the border in unprecedented numbers, flooding our country with crime, with fentanyl, with all sorts of terrible things, rape, murder, everything. We've got our politicians that don't seem to be doing anything except making deals between each other rather than fixing the problems that we hire them and elect them to fix. We've got a lot of other things too. We've got a war between good and evil going on in the world. We've got an attack on Judeo-Christian values. We've got an attack on religion in general. So these are just some of the themes that I'm going to cover in this show. But first, here's some top headlines that the media refused to tell you this week. Voter registration without ID is skyrocketing in key swing states. But you know, I have some great news in one state. Voter integrity activist Scott Pressler reports that a circuit court of appeals has ruled in favor of Pennsylvania requirements for mail-in ballots. In order for a mail-in ballot to count, the date on the outside of the envelope under this ruling must be handwritten, accurately dated. And this is a huge win for election integrity. Elizabeth Warren, do you remember Pocahontas? Pocahontas, you know, just because you're conceived in the back seat of a Jeep doesn't make you a Cherokee, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Warren is back in the news with a wealth tax bill to tax the appreciated assets that you own and have not sold. It could not be more surreal. I'm not making this up, folks. They want to tax the appreciated assets that you own and may not have sold. So, do Democrats actually think through these idiotic policies they try to peddle? I mean, listen to this. A wealth tax on assets you own that you have not sold and you can't get the money out of without selling would mean that in order to pay the taxes, you and everybody else who isn't in the 1% would have to sell assets just to pay the wealth tax. And what are they trying to do? Are they trying to force liquidation? Or are they trying to bankrupt the public? One of the most sacred things about the American dream is homeownership. Americans strive and struggle and scrimp and save to buy their home. And that's a dream for many of us. And buying a home has become hard enough as it is. But now, if you've got a profit on your home, if your home is appreciated in value, they want to tax you on the unrealized gain. Now, what happens if a lot of people own an appreciated asset. Let's say they own a stock that's gone way up in value, but they haven't sold it. Currently, you don't have to pay taxes on that gain. You only pay if you sell it. So let's say they can't afford to pay the taxes on it because they never sold it yet. You can say the same thing about a home. They're all going to try and sell their stocks and homes at the same time, and the housing market and the stock market will crash. Who thought up this idea? What kind of bird brain scheme is this? Such a plan would require you to pay taxes on increased value every year, apparently. So what if real estate crashed and the value dropped? Let's say your house doubled in value and they wanted to tax you on that appreciated value this year. And then next year, real estate dropped and your house goes back to the original value you paid for it. That's possible. I've had it happen on a property. So what would happen? Next year, does the government refund you the taxes that you paid the year before? I mean, marking these assets to market every year and then taxing people on it is insane. Think about the elderly couple. Let's say your parents or your grandparents or your brother or your sister or yourself. Let's think about the elderly couple who bought their home 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and they paid $20,000 for it. And now the house is worth $700,000. Does that sound unrealistic? It's not. If you lived in the Northeast, many homes that people paid $20,000 or $30,000 for are now worth $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. But let's say the elderly couple bought their home 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. They paid $20,000 for it, and now it's worth $700,000, and they want to stay in their home. They would have to pay taxes on the difference between $20,000 and $700,000 every year under Elizabeth Warren's new proposed wealth tax bill. I have always maintained that they would try and steal our homes if they could. They would try and steal our retirement plans if they could. They would take our 401ks if they could, and they would impoverish us if they could. And now we're seeing signs that they've always meant to do that. What did Klaus Schwab say? You will own nothing and you will be happy. So no, Elizabeth Warren, a wealth tax is not a good idea. Not unless your goal is to bankrupt the middle class, crash the housing and stock markets, kill the banks, and plummet us all into a state of government dependency and serfdom. It would be chaos. Now, one last comment. If you studied economics, as I have, you will learn pretty quickly, like Econ 101, entry college level, you will learn that inflation is caused, now I'm simplifying things, okay, but you will learn that inflation is generally caused by printing too much money. If printing money is okay, then you have to ask yourself, why is counterfeiting money illegal? Isn't printing money the same as counterfeiting money? Why? It's only different when the government does it? So it's illegal for me to murder somebody, but if the government murders somebody without cause, in other words, if they don't execute a person, they just murder somebody, they just have hit teams going around killing people, that's okay? If I'm printing money in my basement, how is that different than the government printing money in the basement of the Federal Reserve or the Treasury? If government can simply print money whenever they need it, then why even tax us? If they need money, they can just print it, right? Has anybody ever thought this out? Because none of it makes any sense. What's the value of money? Well, it used to be the value of gold or silver. Our money was tied to gold and silver. That's what's called sound money. Okay? We know what gold and silver is worth. It has a value on the market every day, every minute, spot price. You can get it. What's the value of the dollar? It's whatever people think it is. We're going to put those in the file called Robertson's Rants. This is theft, plain and simple. And I'll get back to these rants. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, MTG, has introduced the following amendments to the Ukraine aid bill, which, by the way, just passed. And the stench from that bill, with Mike Johnson presiding over the House of Representatives, has reached epic proportions. We're not happy with Mike Johnson, okay? I don't know anybody who's happy with the actions of Mike Johnson and other Republicans in the House of Representatives. Marjorie Taylor Greene's following amendments to the Ukraine aid bill require members who vote for the Ukraine bill to enlist in the Ukrainian military. You got to hand it to her. She, you know, sometimes she's a little absurd, but she gets her point across. I mean, you know, I don't think that this was a, you know, this is not something really that's doable, but, you know, she everything else that they've done is so absurd. Then why can't she just propose these absurdities to as amendments to the bill? I mean, I think it just wakes everybody up. And it gets, you know, it gets notice from people as to how absurd this original Ukraine aid bill is. You know what happened, right? They approved aid to Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel, and they eliminated any aid to secure our borders. So where are the Republicans in the House of Representatives? They're in the pockets of the Democrats in the House of Representatives and the Democrats in the Senate and the Democrats and leftists in the Biden administration. It's a uniparty, folks. Like George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. The second amendment that Marjorie Taylor Greene has proposed to the Ukrainian aid bill is that it would divert Her amendment would divert 100% of funds to support East Palestine, Ohio, and Maui, the Hawaii fire in Lahaina. Those victims, you know, those victims, they got $700 apiece. You know, this is not likely to get much traction, probably, but her idea is a good one. Hold the Democrats and Republicans scandalous gutter snipes, hold their feet to the fire. Elon Musk is going to fund a national campaign in support of the First Amendment. Elon Musk has been a huge proponent of free speech. And I really applaud his efforts in this area. Now, new evidence suggests, this is another story, new evidence suggests it was the U.S. and U.K. military intelligence that led to the censorship in Brazil. Massive protests for freedom underway at Copacabana Beach. So massive protests for freedom are underway at Copacabana Beach in Rio de Janeiro this week in Brazil, and they're opposing the Lula government. You know, they squeezed out Bolsonaro. They probably cheated on the election, probably. We know they cheated on the election. Bolsonaro was the most popular candidate in Brazil ever, I think. And Lula was the criminal who was ousted from office before, and now he's back. How did that happen? And now he's cracking down on free speech. He's turning Brazil into a virtual dictatorship. This massive protest had hundreds of thousands of people at Copacabana Beach. And Brazil thanked Elon Musk for exposing what's going on down in Brazil during a huge rally of hundreds of thousands protesting, supporting free speech and free elections. And other media outlets around the world have virtually refused to report the real truth on this. And finally, ICE in Boston detained four alleged child rapists in a single morning. Apparently, local courts keep letting them go. This is a huge problem everywhere that there are illegal aliens. People are not safe in their own cities right now. And now we're going to go to a break, a quick break, but please stay with us and we'll be back with more hot news, cutting stories, and we're going to unleash the truth.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop. And use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back to Unleashed. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson. Before we left for the break, I was going over some of the hottest news items that you may not have heard that the media has generally failed to report. In a continuance of that theme, I wanted to bring this up. Evidence now has been revealed that shows that Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas illegally paroled Laken Riley's killer into the U.S. You remember this young woman who was brutally assaulted and killed by blunt force near the university in Athens, Georgia. She was jogging in the park, and he had an opportunity, and he took it to murder her. Well, Laken Riley's killer, Jose Antonio Ibarra, was allowed into the United States despite him having a criminal record. He was paroled by Mayorkas and his deputies. The man accused of killing Laken Riley was arrested for illegal entry in September 2022 near El Paso, Texas, amid an unprecedented surge in migration. And he was released to pursue his case in immigration court. At the time, the Border Patrol was releasing migrants with orders to appear at an immigration office, not even scheduling court appearances, not holding them, just letting them go. And of course, you know they're never going to come back. That practice, which added years to how long it takes to resolve an immigration case, largely ceased in February of 2023, but it was too late for Lincoln Riley. It is unclear if Jose Antonio Ibarra, 26 years old, followed those instructions or applied for asylum. Unclear. They say it's unclear. I'll bet he never applied. Federal officials say he was arrested later by New York police in August for child endangerment. And again, it was catch and release program. He was released, and that information came through New York officials who said, listen to this, he was caught and released, and they said they had no record of the arrest. I mean, it's like Keystone Cops on our border and in our cities. And, you know, it's not that the police are all that bad. They're overwhelmed, and, you know, the powers that be have been pulling the teeth out of their enforcement abilities. That's also happening. So Jose Antonio Ibarra was living in Athens, Georgia, when Riley was killed. Lincoln Riley was killed, young, 20, I think she was 22 years old. His attorney has not responded to requests for comments. His arrest has thrust the brutal slaying of this young student, this young girl with her whole life ahead of her, into the forefront of the United States debate over immigration. And this is a top issue in the 2024 presidential campaign. Ibarra remains in custody, and he's not seeking a bond. Should lock the door and throw away the key. Now, listen to this. Signs have been posted in 8 different languages in New York promoting free plane tickets for illegals. Hey, bring your friends. The party's just getting started. Let's go on vacation. Meanwhile, Biden, no surprise, continues to lose popularity despite false reports to the contrary in the mainstream media. I think MSNBC and the others are saying, you know, Biden's gaining on Trump. They keep saying he's gaining on Trump. Biden has lost 14 points to Trump among likely voters under 30, according to a recent Harvard poll. And he's ahead in all the battleground states. Trump is. So you can easily see the trend if you just look at the campaign trail. I mean, everywhere Trump goes, he gets mobbed by adoring fans. He gets mobbed by his supporters and more. Everybody wants to see this phenomenon, in which is Donald Trump. I mean, he loves the people and the people love him. It's clear. And you can see it in the Tale of the Two campaigns. Trump stops at a Chick-fil-A. Biden stops at a Wawa. Trump buys 30 milkshakes and food and distributes it to all the other people he's with. Trump doesn't get a milkshake. Trump doesn't get any food. He just buys food and milkshakes for everybody. Everything's on me, on the house. That's Donald Trump. Biden goes to Wawa. He buys one milkshake. One milkshake for himself. Nothing for anybody else. And he just shuffles away. Probably looking for ice cream. Trump had a giant crowd. Giant crowd at Chick-fil-A. People are chanting Trump. Biden had no crowd. It was clearly a staged event by his PR people. Nobody even came up and said hello to him. Nobody shook his hand. Nobody congratulated him. He had a couple of handlers with him, and they kind of shuffled him in and shuffled him out. You know, Trump walks into Chick-fil-A And immediately he's engaging with the workers there. He's got them laughing behind the counter. He's teasing them. He's telling them how cute and good they are. And they were just thrilled. You could tell. They were thrilled. Trump was genuine. Biden was fake, scripted, confused, and pretty cringy. During the trial, as the trial began and they were doing doing jury selection, Trump popped out and stopped into a bodega in Harlem in New York to pay respects to a store clerk who was the victim of violent crime. Okay? He was attacked. You know, the crime situation in New York is off the hook. And now with all the illegal aliens pouring into New York, the crime rate has gotten higher. And, you know, when he went to that bodega, the entire neighborhood stopped. The entire neighborhood stopped. Traffic stopped. People were pouring onto the sidewalk. The entire neighborhood seems like it came out to greet him. They're all chanting, "We want Trump and four more years." Can you spot the difference? I think a blind person would be able to spot the difference. The Tennessee Senate has recently passed a bill to allow the death penalty for child rapists. I don't think there's enough hemp in the world to make enough rope to hang the people that we need to hang in this country. There are so many people whose crimes are so vicious, so cruel, so evil. Democrats who served on the January 6th committee now fear that Trump may jail them, or worse, if he's reelected. Well, what do you think? Do you think maybe if they're criminals that they should be convicted, indicted, convicted, and jailed if Trump gets reelected? I mean, it's no secret why the left keeps trying to get rid of Trump. They are scared to death that he will get in and we will go back to law and order, and these people will be marched out in orange jumpsuits with handcuffs on, you know, just like the left always jokes about Trump. Listen, the real orange man is going to be every one of these Democrat criminals. We'll see how they like it when the shoe is on the other foot. Since the focus in New York this week is on Trump hush money, now might be a great time to remind everyone, all our citizens, everybody listening, everybody within the reach of my voice, I want to remind everyone of the $17 million taxpayer-funded hush money slush fund set up by Congress to take care of their sexual innuendos. You don't believe me? Check it out. Google $17 million secret slush fund Congress used to make hush money payments to sexual victims. It's happening. It's been happening. Nobody wants to talk about it. They sweep it under the rug. It's the same thing as Epstein's client list. How many congressmen and senators are on that client list? How many important people? How many Hollywood people? How about P. Diddy's client list? Who was in those rooms? Who's on the tapes? Who's on the films? What happened to the Epstein films? Where's all the evidence? If that stuff ever comes out, it's going to be an overthrow of all of these criminal cabals that exist across our nation. And they run, believe me, they run from the grassroots local governments all the way up to city, state, county, and federal. They've got judges. They've got lawyers. They've got district attorneys, all guilty of all sorts of weird things, weird, perverse sexuality. They don't want to let it get out what they're real, you know, what really turns them on. And so they're willing to do anything that it doesn't get out. So they're willing to be manipulated. They're willing to vote for bills in Congress that they would normally not vote for. Judges are willing to make decisions that they would normally not make. You see how this goes? This has to be exposed, folks. It all has to be exposed. And now there's a topic that's very close to my heart. Have you heard this whole new term? It's not really a new term. What it is a different use of the term. So have you heard the term Christian nationalism? Now, this term was not really invented by the left, but the left is now labeling Christians as Christian nationalists. Okay. Now, Christian nationalists, I'm not going to go too deep into it, in terms of the origin of the term, but there are some subsects of Christianity that believe in what they call Christian nationalism. There's a small group called Dominionists who really believe that our nation should be run by Christians and God's law should be the law of our nation. Now, we have a constitution. That's not going to happen. Those people are dreaming up a pipe dream. It's an ideal utopian concept. I understand what they're going for. I understand what their motivation is for this. And, as far as personal beliefs, I don't necessarily disagree that God's law should reign supreme over all of our lives. But from a legal, political situation here in the United States, we have a constitution. And our constitution is based on Judeo-Christian values and many other things that make sense for how our nation should operate. So the original, this Christian nationalists, there's a small sect. They're not going to really gain any traction here in this country. But the left is now trying to smear everybody as a fascist, racist, Christian nationalist. And I'm going to tell you why I think that's the case. This is just like the latest slippery move by the godless left to label all Christians as Christian nationalists. And why? Because there's a war on Christianity. And why is there a war on Christianity? Where do our rights come from? What does the Declaration of Independence say? It says that we are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So the foundational basis for our entire existence as a nation are the rights endowed to us by our Creator God. And among them, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then the Constitution goes on to enumerate what exactly the rest of those rights are. The left is now labeling Christians as Christian nationalists, trying to paint all Christians of all nations and all melanin levels, skin tones, somehow as white supremacists and Nazis in order to villainize and marginalize us. Donald Trump runs on Christianity. He's running on Christianity. Donald Trump is a flawed man, but he's a God-fearing man. And you can take that to the bank. I know that for a fact. Donald Trump is encouraging people to go out and get a Bible and read it. He partnered up with Lee Greenwood, the guy who wrote Proud to Be an American. And they're offering this America First Bible that has come out. And I guess it's been fairly successful. It's $60, but a good Bible can cost you $50, $60. And the money's going to support a charity and so forth. And I think it's a great, great idea. But he's encouraging people to go out and get a Bible, Donald Trump is, and read it. He's encouraging people to pray. Have you ever heard a president do that since Truman? Donald Trump has coined the phrase, make America pray again. He also says that for him, Jesus is the most famous person in the world. Biden, on the other hand, is running against Christianity. Biden and his administration are smearing Christians as Christian nationalists, and they're insisting that they are opposed, that Christians are opposed to women and women's rights because Christians oppose the killing of babies, living babies. Now, wait a minute. What about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Is that only for some people, or is that for everybody? Is that only for one heartbeat, or is that for every heartbeat? Life, liberty, and the pursuit. Could it be any more clear? What a twisted message we're getting from Democrats. What are they running on? They're running on death and hate and twisting the truth. They're running on censorship. They're running not for something. They're running against Donald Trump because they're scared to death that he's going to take them out. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. It was not founded as a theocracy or, you know, some dominionist theory or a theocracy dominated by Christianity. It was not founded as that. The First Amendment Establishment Clause prohibits Congress from establishing a national religion, and the Free Exercise Clause right behind it prohibits Congress from prohibiting the free exercise of religion. It says nothing about religion being prohibited from influencing the founding or the governance of the nation. It says nothing about separating or prohibiting church from influencing state. It does prohibit state from influencing or interfering with church and the free exercise of religion. So the First Amendment is one way. Government cannot come down against religion. Can religion be involved in government? Not a word against it here. Yes, I would say yes. I think the Supreme Court would rule yes. This is not about separating church from state. This is about keeping state out of the church's business and allowing people to exercise their free exercise of religion, no matter where they are, whether it be Congress, the Senate, in government, in industry, in our public square, everywhere. So they're reading in something that isn't there when they read the First Amendment. And they're conflating separation of government from church to separation of church from government. It's just not there. No matter how you read it, you won't find it. Read the founders' notes and their comments and correspondences, and you'll see. Now we're going to go to a quick break with our sponsors. Please patronize our sponsors. We have some great products on AmericaOutloud.shop. And if you enter the product code OUTLOUD, you'll get a hefty 25% discount on your purchase. We'll be right back.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to Unleashed. I'm Bruce Robertson. Before we left for the break, we were talking about the war against Christianity. And there is a war, folks. No matter how you slice it, it's evident. We have the left calling Christians Christian nationalists. And now I'm going to dig a little deeper into that theme. Did our founding fathers want to separate church and state completely? There's no evidence of that. Read the founders' notes, comments, and correspondences, and you will realize just how much the Judeo-Christian Bible, its morals and ethics, influenced our founding. The Declaration of Independence, authored by founding father Thomas Jefferson, is not just some slip of paper that states that we are now free. Drafts of the Constitution, before it was put into its final form, show that it was originally written as an appeal. Drafts of the Declaration show that it was originally written as an appeal. The common belief in those days was that the King of England was selected by God through a process called divine right. This means that the only way that one can legally fight the actions taken by a rogue king is by appealing to a higher authority than that king himself, and that would be God. The most well-known sentence of the Declaration of Independence states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator," that means God for all those people in Rio Linda, "with certain inalienable rights." Inalienable. What does that mean? Inalienable. That means they cannot be taken away, ever. "That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Among these. It's not an inclusive list. These are just a few of the rights that we are endowed with by our Creator. The sentence is a direct appeal to God that the King of England has stepped outside the boundaries of his quote-unquote divine right to rule, and they are now invoking the authority of God in order to assert their God-given natural right to legally accuse the king. As can be seen in the Declaration of Independence and the structure of the British government, the founding fathers appealed to God as a form of higher authority for their freedoms and for their inalienable rights. By stating this in the Declaration, it's clear proof that Thomas Jefferson and all the other founders, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, James Monroe, all the rest, all those who co-signed it, recognize God as an invaluable part of the founding of this country. Furthermore, the founding fathers even spoke often of their Christian beliefs. They didn't just write them down. John Adams, founding father and president of the United States, stated, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." This is true because our Constitution, as well as the Declaration of Independence, was crafted by religious people for a religious people. Benjamin Franklin served as a delegate to the United States Constitutional Convention in 1787, and he was outspoken in his attendance there. He spoke these words from the convention floor. "In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection." Our prayers, sir, speaking to the speaker of the convention, "our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor." And he goes on to say, "Have we now forgotten that powerful friend," meaning God, "or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live," said Franklin, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? And he goes on, I therefore beg leave to move, that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations here be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. Well, folks, there's living proof. There's written and recorded proof inscribed by those who were there. Eyewitnesses wrote this down. Now, I predict that November 2024 will be Christian Visibility Month. Donald Trump himself said it. Christians are under attack in this nation like never before, and we should become activists in our political systems and flood the polls like never before. According to a 2023 Gallup poll, 68% of Americans now identify as Christian, with 33% of them Protestant, 22% of them Catholic, and 13% identifying as another Christian religion. 68%. If Christians turned out in force as a voting bloc to defend against the ongoing attack and war on Christianity being waged by the atheist, godless left, and this means being activists and soldiers to our faith, folks, this means standing up, not just blah, 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 not just posting on the internet, getting up on your feet and marching, going down and protesting, speaking to our representatives, getting in people's faces, just like the left does. If we do that, if we turn out in force as a voting and protesting bloc, we will overwhelmingly take back America. This is not an insurrection. This is a return to founding principles. I say make America great again. I say encourage America to pray again. You know, the left is pushing this false idea that Christian nationalists think that our government should be a theocracy or a chaos. You know, they're actually pushing this stupid false narrative. It's a false dichotomy. It's an arbitrary presupposition on their part. I challenge you to find any exception on the left who's not currently pushing this false Christian nationalist narrative. They've all gotten the memo, folks. You know, remember that? Remember the memo they got? It's a threat to our democracy. It's a threat to our democracy. It's a threat to our democracy. Now it's a, they're all Christian nationalists. They're all Christian nationalists. The parrots are all speaking the same squawking narrative. You'll know that you have uncovered a proponent of this false premise when you hear an argument leading to the conclusion that Christians somehow believe that all societies must be theocracies, Christian theocracies, or be chaotic. Such an argument will need to studiously avoid the look at the history of how America was founded, folks, because I just enumerated to you the reasons and the statements by our founding fathers that were, while invoking Christian values and while invoking God, if you read our laws, it allows for everybody to be free. Other faiths under Christians are freer than Christians under other faiths. Have you ever noticed that? Can a Christian preach the Bible in Saudi Arabia? Can a Muslim preach the Quran in America? I think there's your answer right there. Most Christians don't hold the thesis of, you know, just a strict Christian theocracy. We have plenty of room for other religions and faiths here. Even atheism, you're allowed to practice whatever you see fit, but don't push it on us and don't try and squeeze us out, because our founding is based on those morals and values, and we want to keep to our morals and values. Our American nation was not founded on the idea of theocracy or chaos. It was founded on the principles of Judeo-Christian biblical morality and Neomachian Aristotelian Ethics. Look that one up. Blended with a generous dose of English, French, and Swiss Enlightenment philosophy. And that means John Locke, Thomas Hobbes, Montesquieu, Vattel, and many others. This blend of philosophies, morals, and ethics, and political systems, it's fundamentally biblical, it's politically Greek and Roman, structurally with Senate and so forth, open discourse, with a dash of Enlightenment philosophy thrown in. And it's very unique in all the world. There's nothing else like it. The only thing that maybe comes close to a constitutional republic might be the government of Switzerland, okay? And that's only because Switzerland's government was largely designed by a great Greek diplomat and patriot, okay? Kapodistrias, Ioannis Kapodistrias, designed, very few people know this, but a Greek designed Switzerland's canton system. This blend of ideologies that our founders put together created the constitutional republic that our founders delivered to us. It is not a theocracy. It is not chaos, as the left says. Rather, it provides a moral basis and some order to chaos while enabling liberty without tyranny by recognizing and codifying the God-given rights endowed to man by our Creator. This ingenious blend, unique in all the world, forms the Constitutional Republic that our founders gave us. And it's certainly, in my opinion, worth fighting for. I hope that you will agree. All laws, I mean, you have to have laws in a society. You can't have chaos. You can't have anarchy. So realize, any law, doesn't matter, Christian laws, any law, all laws are moral laws. It just depends on whose morals we decide to follow. And our founders have decided on which morals to follow. And they're codified in our rule of law. The leftists' use of the term Christian nationalist has created this false hypothesis. And they've done so to completely dismiss Christian morality and values based on Judeo-Christian biblical theism as one of the key founding principles of our nation. They've dismissed it. The goal here is to dismiss Christianity altogether. They want to wipe it out. It's their way of attacking Christians. The faith of our founding fathers relied upon in the founding and establishment of this nation is systematically being erased. They want to cancel us, just like they want to cancel conservatives. By this made up and twisted definition, and because, listen to this, the Nazis were nationalists, okay? They're betting that most Americans don't understand that nationalism is different than National Socialism. What were the Nazis? They were National Socialists. What is a nationalist? A nationalist is merely a patriot. So if I'm a Christian and I'm a patriot, they want to paint me with the name tag, the smear, Christian nationalist. It's absurd. But they're hoping they can squeak it by with people who are ignorant to where they're getting this from. They seek to conflate nationalism with fascism. And that's absolutely a false alignment. Therefore, in their twisted view, all nationalists are fascists, especially Christian nationalists. So therefore, take this argument a little further to its logical conclusion, Thomas Jefferson to them was a fascist Christian nationalist, and he should be dismissed and his statues should be taken down, never mind that he inherited some slaves from his wife's family and offered them their freedom, and only three of them accepted. Okay, never mind that he paid his slaves and treated them well. And if you go down to Monticello, that's the first thing those docents down there will tell you is that they had a pretty good life. better than they had in Africa. And they were offered their freedom. Only three of them accepted. So they're saying that Jefferson should be dismissed as a fascist, as should all Christians and all founders who recognize that our certain rights are endowed by our Creator that pre-exist the formation of governments, namely life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness among them. But if they remove Christianity as a founding principle, listen to this, they can then erase history. They can then erase the Constitution. They can then erase the law and the origin of our rights, which are inalienable, and they can suddenly make them alienable. You get it? You get it now? You see what they're trying to do? They can move on to the false premise that our natural rights are not endowed by God. They can dismiss our key founding documents that bind tyrants and monarchs alike. And they could march forward towards serfdom to make the state the only God from which all blessings flow. This in itself is a deliberate march toward autocratic totalitarianism with the state as the highest authority. The state will grant your rights. The state will tell you what you can do. The state can say what you can buy and what you can't buy. And if they don't like it, they will cancel you. Whether fascist or communist or monarchical, it's all the same. Autocratic totalitarianism is an oppressive form of government, and the rules are executed at the barrel of a gun. What they intentionally fail to distinguish here is that nationalism is merely simple patriotism, as I said before. National socialism is Nazism. Nazism is not a right-wing ideology. They keep on telling that lie, too, that, you know, if you're conservative, you're right-wing, and if you're right-wing, you're a Nazi. No, the Nazis were leftists. They were socialists. They believed in collectivism of the state. The only thing that they didn't believe in, that the Marxists believe in, is who owns the means of production. The Nazis believed in private ownership to some extent of the factories and the workshops, but the government would heavily regulate it, and you wouldn't even realize that the government didn't own it. They were so much in everybody's business in the Nazi state, and they would bankrupt anybody that didn't agree with them, or, you know, there was no freedom. So it's an autocratic leftist ideology, fascism, same thing in Italy. And they try to twist it and say it's right wing. It's not. The farthest right wing is anarchy, no law. Farthest left wing is communism, despotism, you know, absolute iron-fisted control. And Nazism is on the way to that with, you know, Marxist communism even a little further down that road. So their goal here is to dismiss all nationalism as Nazism and move our nation and the world away from individual and state sovereignty under our federalist system, and move it toward one world government under a global fascist or communist system, and remove God, and then the state becomes God. And that's the plan, and then it's lights out for all of us. You can kiss your freedom and liberty goodbye. How can America prevail? We can do it by waking up. This year, November, is Christian Visibility Month. Vote for your freedom. This is Bruce Robertson.